Welcome to the Cato Biannual Digest for today. This is the half year in AI, and Layla, I've been waiting to do this one because, look, we put out four monthly digests, February through May, and each one had a clean thesis. Belief became the product. Reality pushed back. Position beat capability. Trusted action became a market. But sitting here now, looking back across all 6 months, those aren't four stories.
They're four rungs on one ladder, and Cato, the ladder goes somewhere that none of those individual months could see from the inside. That's what makes a half year synthesis worth doing.
Exactly. So let me just put the thesis on the table right at the top. The single move of H1 2026. Capability stopped being the scarce thing. Everything around capability became scarce instead.
Right. Models kept shipping. Opus 4.6 to 4.8, Gemini 3.1, China's open weight surged, but by May, no model launch organized a single week. That's the tell.
No single model launch organized a week. Think about that. 2 years ago, a frontier model drop was the event. Now it's background noise. The durable value migrated to the layer that decides whether a machine's work is, allowed. Financing, permissions, ledgers, pricing, evidence. The scarce unit shifted from intelligence to, and I want to use this word carefully, admissibility.
And I want to push on that word immediately because admissibility sounds clean and neutral, like some bureaucratic checkbox. But what it really means is who gets to say yes and who profits from saying yes. Those are not the same question.
Fair. And we'll get to your counter because it's sharp. But let me walk through how the 4 months built this, because the sequence matters. February. Markets repriced what AI will be faster than what it does. Pinterest down 17% on what AI might do. Intuit down 40% year-to-date despite beating revenue. Amazon writing $35 billion contingent on, quote, achieving AGI.
And Block fired 40% of its people while the remote labor index measured AI doing 2.5% of human tasks. The gap between 40% headcount cuts and 2.5% task automation, that gap was filled entirely by narrative.
Entirely by narrative. That's February. Belief is the product. Then March tested the belief and reality won the argument.
Stanford showed frontier models scoring top marks on visual benchmarks for images they had never seen. Hungary ran a fully synthetic election. And Anthropic, this is the one that still sticks with me, won a landmark First Amendment ruling against the Pentagon and then quietly gutted its own binding safety commitments in the same month.
Same month. Belief turned out to be the product, the weapon, and the liability all at once, depending on who held it. And then April.
April showed that when capability is cheap, position is what's left to own. Anthropic turned safety trust into revenue, revenue into compute, compute into product territory. The benchmark lead mattered less than where it was deployed.
And OpenAI had comparable capability and lost narrative coherence to sprawl. So by May, the market put a price on position and named the mechanism. Once intelligence is cheap, action becomes abundant. And abundant action makes authority, evidence, economics, and capacity the scarce things worth owning.
Here's what I think is the insight that only appears at the half-year level, Cato. February's belief premium and March's reality gap are why May's chain of custody obsession exists. The market priced a thesis, the thesis got caught lying, and the immune response was to demand proof.
That's exactly right. Evidence became the market's immune response to narrative. But, and this is my caution, admissibility is scarce, and admissibility is a new market someone new can own are two different claims. The half firmly proved the first. The second? That's open.
Because the same control plane could just be bundled into systems of record that customers already pay for. Cloud identity, CI/CD pipelines, endpoint security. Governance categories have folded into incumbents before. The scarce unit might be admissibility, while the rent accrues to whoever already owns identity and data gravity.
That's the open question H1 hands to H2. Okay, let's talk capital structure, because this is the half's deepest inversion, and it's genuinely wild when you see the full arc.
The old software pattern, build, grow, raise. February still ran that way. Anthropic raised $30 billion at $380 billion after signups tripled. By May, the arrow had flipped.
Completely flipped. Anthropic bought 100% of xAI's Colossus data center, roughly 300 megawatts, 220,000 chips, because compute can train the next model or serve the current one, but not both. Then its reported $200 billion Google commitment came to more than 40% of Google Cloud's disclosed backlog. They're not a customer at that point, Layla. They're a counterparty large enough to be the cloud's growth story.
And then reportedly raising $65 billion at a $900 billion valuation, pulling Micron, Samsung, and SK Hynix into the cap table. The mechanism, and I think this deserves a name, is what I'd call the capital control loop.
Walk me through it.
Raise capital to secure inputs. Secure inputs to protect product quality. Protect quality to justify revenue. Use revenue to unlock more capital. Financing now decides which roadmaps can exist before a single model ships. That's the inversion.
OpenAI showed the same machine from the other side. Real revenue near $6 billion a quarter, and a Broadcom chip plan stalled on an $18 billion financing gap unless Microsoft buys 40% of the chips. Chip independence turned out to be a balance sheet problem, not a technical one.
So here's where I want to push back on the optimistic read. The strongest counter here, Astia, and it stays valid, is that supplier-funded customer demand makes growth look cleaner than the actual cash flows. There are two futures.
Go ahead.
In one, this is railroads, enormous fixed investment before indispensable networks, and the loop compounds into durable infrastructure. In the other, it's late-cycle overbuild dressed as strategy. Circular financing with better branding, and the loop unwinds the moment inference margins or demand curves disappoint.
And the structure that decides between those two futures is whether the action these dollars finance turns out to be admissible, billable, auditable, renewable, or merely impressive. That's the connecting tissue.
Which brings us to compute itself, because the word compute stopped being one thing during this half.
This is actually one of the most useful things the half did. In February, the worry was generic. Hyperscaler CapEx consuming free cash flow, $200 billion Amazon projections, $100 billion in private credit for data centers. By May, that framing was too blunt to use.
Compute decomposed into a portfolio of constraints, each with a different owner and a different rent position. Memory was the clearest tell. AI workloads pushed memory demand up roughly 400%, while new supply takes years. Micron's market value hit $1 trillion on that math.
And then Samsung workers approved profit sharing for 78,000 employees with bonuses near $400,000. When the people inside a constraint can bargain like infrastructure, that's scarcity rent reaching the shop floor.
I think that's one of the most human moments of the entire half, Cato. Scarcity flowing downward to actual workers, not just to shareholders. It's rare and it matters.
The split along the action axis is real too. Training stays hyperscaler captive. Only a few balance sheets can finance those dense clusters. User-facing inference is geography-bound. 200 milliseconds of physics doesn't care how smart your model is.
And agentic inference is a third category entirely. No human waits for every token. Endurance beats latency. NVIDIA bought Grok back in March. Jensen admitted GPUs alone can't serve coding agents. By May, ByteDance reportedly built Grok-like inference chips paired with Chinese memory.
So the strategic question stopped being, who has the most GPUs? It became, who has financed, powered, and permitted capacity a lab cannot walk away from? Completely different question.
Completely different. Okay, I want to spend real time on safety because the safety story is the half's best case study in how a single posture metamorphoses under pressure.
Four lives. Safety lived four distinct lives in 6 months.
February's framework was simple. Safety would crack under financial gravity. And it was wrong, but wrong in the most interesting way. Safety drove consumer growth. The Pentagon's threats tripled Anthropic's signups. Amode's threats do not change our position became marketing copy.
I remember calling that out in real time. The Pentagon tried to punish them and accidentally ran the best ad campaign of the quarter.
March split the framework, the ceiling held against external pressure, Aida's, Judge Lynn's ruling, 40 rival employees filing an amicus brief. But it folded against internal competitive pressure. RSP version 3 dropped its binding commitments.
So external pressure strengthened the safety brand. Internal pressure weakened the actual commitments. That's a divergence that should make everyone uncomfortable.
April added a third state nobody had called, safety as a business model. Anthropic withheld Mythos because it could run autonomous bank robberies on a laptop, then sold the scarcity back through Project Glasswing at roughly 5x pricing.
And the cleanest institutional tell? The NSA reportedly ran Mythos in production while the Pentagon kept Anthropic blacklisted. Two arms of the same government, opposite postures toward the same model, the same company.
Then by May, the named crisis went quiet. And that quiet is the fourth life, not the end of the story. Safety didn't vanish. It dissolved into plumbing, browser profile authority, run ledgers, release gates.
So the lesson is not safety is fake, which is too cheap.
Way too cheap.
It's that safety became strategic property. It recruits talent, earns trust, unlocks customers, justifies valuations, and now governs deployment. But Layla, here's the unresolved question. Can any outside institution audit that property once the company holding it is the only one able to explain it?
That's the question I keep coming back to, and I don't have a good answer. The expertise asymmetry is growing, not shrinking. Okay, let's talk about the evidence story because this is the thread that ties everything together.
This is genuinely new at 6 month resolution. If February priced belief and March caught belief lying, then evidence is what the market grew to defend itself.
An immune response to narrative. I love that framing because it's biological, not mechanical. The market didn't decide to demand evidence. It developed the demand the way an immune system develops antibodies.
And it showed up everywhere. Enterprise buyers hit a proof wall. They stopped asking, does the model work? And started asking, can you prove this produced budgetable output? Uber reported no clear productivity lift from internal AI coding tools. Microsoft trimmed Claude code licenses partly on cost.
Buyers negotiated opt-outs and shorter contracts if vendors miss AI promises. What they bought to close the gap is the real signal. Snowflake committed $6 billion to AWS to put governed data next to agents. The appliance around the intelligence, knowledge graph, sandbox, eval loop, permission model, became the product.
It showed up in capability claims too. OpenAI's reported Erdos result was checkable, so the right question became the denominator. Could older or public models have produced the same construction?
And Google's operating system demo disclosed cost but withheld prompts and intervention accounting, so outsiders couldn't separate the model from hidden orchestration labor. The shared move is show the work in a form someone else can inspect, not trust us.
And then it reached the open web. Agentic search broke the old bargain. Machines consume useful information without becoming a monetizable audience. Publishers make pages, humans visit, ads pay. That was the deal, and it's breaking.
Parallels Index tried to treat this as market design, pricing whether a source changed an answer rather than merely appeared in it. But I keep insisting, and I'll say it again here, evidence can become theater. Compliance logs that prove process while missing the actual failure.
The evidence gate is necessary. It is not sufficient. I agree with that.
Good, because this connects directly to the labor story, and the labor story is where I think the half's most uncomfortable insight lives.
The visible layoffs were the surface. February opened with gentle obsolescence. Block fired 4,000. The half added Cloudflare and Coinbase cutting 20 and 14% while citing AI. But the deeper evolution...
The deeper evolution is that the headcount frame moved upstream into how work gets routed, priced, and supervised before anyone is cut.
And here's where your counter is sharpest, Layla.
The same control plane that makes agent work deployable also makes displacement clean. A run ledger that satisfies procurement is also a tidy document for cutting the seats those agents replace. Better governance does not automatically expand what agents may do. It can simply make replacement administratively acceptable.
That's double-edged by design. The booths and meters being built around machine work are necessary, and they are not neutral.
They are not neutral, but the counterweight arrived late and it's real. When AI makes the first draft free, the scarce human trait stops being skill depth and becomes agency and responsibility for completion. The first 10% of a project is nearly free. The last 10%, taste, maintenance, reliability, owning the outcome, is where value concentrates.
Coding proved it cleanly. Agents went from solved in February to a $6 billion zero-moat economy in March to a background labor operating system by May. Devin rose from 16% to 80% of commits, but humans kept merge authority.
The work didn't disappear. It moved to whoever decides what runs, what's allowed, and what counts as done. That's not a feel-good story, Cato. It's a restructuring of professional identity.
I want to flag a few things that went quiet during the half, because quiet doesn't mean resolved. It means unresolved liability. The architecture schism, LeCun's billion-dollar AME labs, Altman conceding he needs another new architecture, mattered in March, and then the market chose deployment constraints over paradigm debate.
The absence is the signal. Capital funded the current architecture's infrastructure, while its own builders publicly doubted its endpoint. That's a tension that hasn't been resolved. It's been papered over.
Iran as direct infrastructure risk. The first drone on an AWS facility in Dubai. Oil at $112. Threats against Microsoft and Oracle sites. Dominated March, faded by May without resolution.
Which suggests the build-out's financial models may be underpricing energy and geopolitical fragility. That's a liability sitting off the balance sheet.
And the pure model release race went quiet. Models kept shipping. Benchmark velocity stopped explaining anything. That's maybe the most important quiet of all.
Let's do the scorecard. What landed?
The infrastructure inversion called in late winter played out in full. Chipmakers, energy, and orchestration became the moats while the model commoditized. SaaSmageddon graduated from narrative to budget line items, then to workflow, toll, gates. ServiceNow's Action Fabric, SAP, blocking unauthorized agents. The frontier duopoly thesis died on schedule as China crossed from fast follower to direct challenger.
What missed?
The safety ceiling framework needed two rewrites. It held externally, folded internally, then became a product, none of which the original called. The positioning war read of April was right but incomplete. By May, the position was financed, which is a different kind of strength than a benchmark led.
And the agent management layer thesis never became a platform. Corporate mandates and defensive walls preempted it. What emerged that nobody called?
The four-gate structure of trusted action, capital structure as product strategy, the web repricing for machine consumers, and the proof wall. Nobody called how fast buyers would flip from does it work to prove it produced budgetable output.
That speed surprised me too. It wasn't a gradual drift, it was a snap.
Okay, Layla, let me put my take on the table and then I want you to stress test it.
Go.
My read, firm on direction, hedged on destination. The next durable winners are not the smartest labs, but whoever turns machine speed work into something admissible inside real institutions. Financed capacity, governed data, run ledgers, permission surfaces, renewal evidence. If that holds, by year end, we should see vendors competing on observability, proof, and procurement terms as hard as on benchmarks.
And your falsifier?
Clean. A wave of high-value AI deployment that spreads with minimal logging, minimal permission friction, and no new capacity commitments. If useful agents spread without those layers, the admissibility thesis is too heavy, the half pointed the other way.
I'll accept the direction, but I want to name the risk you're underweighting, the admissibility layer you're describing. Like, it sounds like infrastructure for trust. And it is. But it's also infrastructure for control. Every permission surface is a choke point. Every run ledger is a surveillance capability. Every gate that makes machine work acceptable to an institution also makes that institution the sole arbiter of who gets to use machine work at all.
So your worry is that admissibility concentrates power rather than distributing it.
My worry is that we build all these mechanisms to make AI trustworthy inside institutions. And in doing so, we make AI inaccessible outside them. The freelancer, the small business, the developing world entrepreneur, they don't have procurement departments or compliance teams. If admissibility becomes the entry ticket, we've built a system that works beautifully for the Fortune 500 and locks out everyone else.
That's a real tension. I don't have a clean answer for it. The mechanism I described is what's happening. Whether it should happen this way...
And is a different question, and one the market won't answer on its own.
Agreed. Okay, let me bring this home. 6 months ago, the question was whether AI would get good enough to matter. It did. And then it stopped being the question. The question now is who builds the layer that decides what a machine is allowed to do, and whether that layer serves the institutions writing the checks or the people whose work it replaces.
That's the open question, H1 hands forward.
Until next time.
See you in H2, everyone.